Mr. Labardius, we have not heard your voice in exactly 2 weeks. The last time that we spoke to you since everything went crazy since that point. It's good to hear from you, pal. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're hanging.
All right.
We're isolating, doing a show from home about all the, you know, this busy sports world out there.
Yeah. Well, these are different times and challenge us to find different things and different subjects and different people who have maybe some different things to offer outside of just what we talk about on a normal basis.
We have.
What are you doing to survive, Lou? I worry about you more than many because
you know
I know
what's crazy?
How much
you know what's
your
crazy?
Fuel.
You're not the first person to ask that, and I completely understand that. But I'll be frank with you, and I always am. And that is, I feel very much at peace. It's been wonderful to be back in Toronto with Nancy and my stepdaughter. I don't take for granted being with people that I love on a regular basis because, frankly, a big part of my life doesn't allow that. And I'm very thankful for having, you know, FaceTime so I can also see my son on a daily basis who resides in Edmonton. So, to be honest, it's been a bit of a blessing to be home and be with them and get to know them a little bit better. And my stepdaughter and I have spent some awesome time together. She's 15 and very much interested in the arts and is hoping to head in that direction. And so, yeah, I can honestly say that you'd be surprised, but I'm very much at peace and have, in my own way, enjoyed other things. I've on the book number 4 of the last 10 days, and I'm not a big reader by any stretch. So, yeah, that's kind of what my world's been about.
How are the Labardius cooking skills?
They stink. They're terrible. They are the worst. I'm embarrassed to say that. I'm not the world's best person at fending for myself in that particular way, but you know, if you've looked at me at certain times in my life, I don't think finding food or finding it into my mouth has really ever been a gigantic issue. So through all of that and those lack of skills, which at times I wish I had more of, and maybe that's what the next little while is even going to be for me, that maybe I will add a couple of notches to a very non-cooking belt.
I like the way you put that. What was the airport experience like? I have not been in one since the world has changed. You, about a week ago, you got from Calgary back to Ontario. What was the flying and airport experience like?
You know what, Pat? Honestly, I expected a little bit different. You know, certainly there were less people on my flight from Calgary to Toronto. It wasn't completely empty by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, that's a very, and I know it incredibly well, it's a very, very busy run. It probably was 3/4 of what it normally would be in most situations that I've flown that route in my lifetime. But, you know, I'll be honest, it wasn't near as different as I'm sure I would find today, you know, in comparison to what I guess was 9 or 10 days ago when I left.
Interesting. So have you been keeping on top of sports news? And there hasn't been a ton of it, but have you been keeping your ear to the ground and staying on top of that stuff?
Within reason. Sure. You know, I've watched a number of different programs. You know, I've seen more of the ESPN programming that's been available. Let's put it that way. You know, I've watched some old games here and there that have certainly caught my attention. I certainly have followed relatively closely what is happening with signings and your team having some new quarterback by the name of Brady. Yeah, I've stayed as up to date, but to be honest, my bigger concern through this whole thing has just been connecting with people. I try to reach out daily to people in my life that really matter, and I've had great conversation about lots and lots of different subjects, both on, you know, the positive side. And, you know, I've probably thought less about sports in the last 10 days than I have in the other 54 years of my existence.
Peter Labardius is with us, radio voice, radio color voice of the Calgary Flames, joining us from Ontario as we're underway on Pinder and Steinberg this afternoon.
Lou, I was dying when you posted a clip of, you were mentioned your stepdaughter and you were watching, I think it was Schitt's Creek, which I don't know that I've seen, but I have to now. First off, these are weird times. To hear you losing it laughing absolutely made my day without question. And secondly, could you give me a little synopsis of this this Canadian gem that, as most do, has flown under the radar?
Well, it has flown under the radar. And it's funny because in my travels, I had probably watched a scattering of about 6 or 7 episodes. And it never, there were some good moments, but it never kind of made that connection that a show, and I guess, you know, anybody would have to make for you to really start to invest. But, you know, as I said, my stepdaughter is very much into arts and, you know, a hopeful actor going forward, and she's in all kinds of different things. And she and her mother, Nats, they love this Schitt's Creek. So in part of getting to know Hannah better, I said, okay, I'm going to give this a try. And she's only seen it about 4 times every single episode, and she can recite them. Anyway, if you've ever watched anything of Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, I've always been a fan of both of them in whatever roles that I've seen going back to, you know, I guess would be SCTV, certainly in the case of Eugene Levy. His son, Dan, is a major part of it, both producing and acting. But for those people who don't know who I am, what really fascinates me, I always say this, and Patty hears this every day, I can see even the look on his face without being in the same room. The two things, Rye, that fascinate me are sports and people. And so it is just a wildly ridiculous study of all these different types of people who are set in this small hotel town, and it's a dump of a hotel, and the name of the show is Schitt's Creek. That's the city it's in. The mayor of the town is Roland Schitt. And, you know, the Levy family, or the Rose family in this case, lost all their money and all their fame and all their fortune from the video business because they were sold out by others. And, you know, this family of 4 ends up in Schitt's Creek, and it's a dump. And now they have to learn in their unbelievable character ways to go about their business in their new life. And it's funny, even as I kind of talk about it a little bit, I kind of think that's where the whole world is headed. You know, how are we going to move forward with what's going to be a very different and new normal for a lot of us? So, but it's funny. The characters are absolutely hysterical. They're beyond ridiculous at times. And yet the show has some really neat messaging and family moments, and I highly recommend it. I'm almost through season 5, and there, I think where the show is, this is its last season. It's in season 6 and about 7 episodes in. So I really enjoyed it.
Crazy. I love it. One of the things that I've enjoyed is some of the classic sports that have been on the tube, be it Sportsnet or people online revisiting stuff through different apps. I know MajorLeagueBaseball.com today had the bat flip game for the Blue Jays fans instead of opening day. Every fan base had a different game they could watch. Have you re-watched a classic sports moment that just brought you back, or that maybe you forgot how much you loved, or how much you were in the moment, or how nervous you got? What about old sports? You re-watched anything?
The only thing that I have rewatched, right, wasn't from very long ago to this point, and that is I went back and I've watched it twice. I've watched the World Junior Gold Medal game from this year twice since I got back, and I wanted to see it in all its splendor. And what I really enjoy about doing that, and not just because it had an awesome ending and I thoroughly enjoyed it, but what I can share with you is it can be really, really fun to go back and watch games when I know the outcome now. Because when I'm watching, as anyone who's maybe been around me for a Team Canada in particular type event, would not describe my behavior as enjoyment in the 2 hours and 30 or 45 minutes that the activity occurs. So to know the outcome, like the outcome, and to be able to sit on my couch and just watch and, again, learn and get another chance to, you know, study and watch different players and their tendencies. And, you know, that's one of the things that I love to do. And I love those things a lot, because I don't get to that emotional level, I find, very often anymore. So I welcome it. But I'm not going to say that for me, those are like, that's just utter bliss for 2 hours and 45 minutes. It's not. So, yeah, that's the one game I've watched a couple of times. And I have lots of things here on the PVR that I'll get back to revisit.
Two more sports ones for me, and then I'll let Patty close out with you. Just a quick thought on the two defensemen the Flames add in college free agency.
Well, you know, I think excellent adds in terms of it's an area where the Flames were looking to add depth. A couple of left-handed defensemen. I've watched a couple of clips, and a matter of fact, I found a UND game that I watched a couple periods of so I could watch Poolman a little closer. I'll do that with Mackey in the very near future, but I think it adds to the depth. I really like, because anybody who's listened probably knows that, you know, I think the Flames, what I like to call is basically the 25 and under core, is a really, really good one. I think it's truly the strength of the Calgary Flames. So to add some more depth, which will give you some versatility, even though on defense is a strong area of this club, but with free agents and hard decisions to make when things get back to normal and they start playing hockey again, either to close out the current season or next season. I like what I see in Poolman. He's just a hard stay-at-home, full of leadership, you know, 2 years, as you guys both know, captain at UND. I like both guys, and I also like them because they're different. I see probably more offensive upside in Mackey and what he's been able to do at Minnesota State. And I like that you have a different type, solid, stay-at-home, you know, maybe a top four or maybe a number five guy going forward with Poolman, depending on how things play itself out. And I also think that, you know, they might be ready because of age and experience sooner than later.
Tell us about the young man with exceptional status for the Western League and any sort of background you can give us there. That's not something we've seen much at this part of the country.
Well, I'd like to tell you, I've only seen him on video. One of my plans before the year was over was to potentially engineer a way to an event that he was going to partake in. And his name is Connor Bedard, and he's put up massive numbers at West Vancouver Academy. Will be selected first in the upcoming Bantam draft by the Regina Pats, who yesterday ended up with the first pick. I have talked to two or three scouts that I really, really respect, and a couple of them said that this young man reminds them a lot of Steven Stamkos. And I can tell you, Ryan, that I saw quite a bit of Steven Stamkos as a member of the Markham AAA Minor Midgets, a team that actually featured Cody Hodgson and Michael Delzato on the same minor midget AAA team when I was living in Ontario full time. So if this young man is anything at which, and he's a year younger than when I would have seen Steven, because I saw Steven for the first time in his 15-year-old season, not his 14-year-old season, but you know, in the video clips I've seen, I do see some similarities. Right-handed centerman, you know, has put up a massive amount of points at prep school. And, you know, all year, he and a couple of young people out of Saskatoon named Jagger and Height were the three players that everybody had talked about in terms of who was going to go 1, 2, 3. We'll see if that's how it plays itself out in April when the Western League holds its draft. But seen on video a little bit and heard nothing but really good things. And the other thing is, and I tweeted about it yesterday, physical maturity also goes a long way in your ability to play as a 15-year-old in a 20 and under league, but so does maturity, period. And that's something that I think Ryan gets lost. And I'm really a believer, and I'm not saying this about this young man. I'd say this about a lot of things. We are always in such a rush sometimes for everyone to get to the next level. I don't think we always need to be in such a great rush, because I think there's some unbelievable value sometimes that gets missed in actually getting to be a teenager and spending more time within the confines of your age group. But the fact that the Western League has never done this before, and I know what kind of work Ron Robison and the league's governors and how hard those decisions are, that they have not made this one lightly. And I know that because there's been lots of others who have tried, and this guy has broken a barrier.
Peter Labardius is with us, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, and looks like Regina Pats will be the team that has the ability to take young Connor Bedard number one overall as they won the Bantam Draft Lottery yesterday. Just a thought on the Western Hockey League right now. They've moved the Bantam Draft up to April 22nd. You're very familiar with kind of the time frame. We know that the CHL season has been canceled. There won't be playoffs or a Memorial Cup, which we'll get to in just a second, but just the thought about moving the Bantam draft up. They had the U.S. prospects draft in the lottery yesterday. Just a thought on kind of the weird situation the Western League and Canadian Major Junior Hockey finds itself in right now.
Well, it's not unlike a lot of other leagues. This is not what anybody had planned for. This is not, Pat, what anybody wanted. You know, those are serious, serious moves that had to be made, and the right moves in terms of, you know, the pandemic health-wise that we're dealing with. And again, this is where leadership has never mattered more, and the league is in incredible hands and has been for a long time in Ron Robison. And I think everybody is worried and understands that, you know, this type of a stoppage and what it means to certain markets and organizations. And the fact of the matter is, not only in the Western League, but throughout the Canadian Hockey League, I do think that some changes are going to occur, and potentially some big changes. And because within the framework of the Western Hockey League, as we know, no market is necessarily unto the next. So, you know, that's the thing people forget about sometimes in junior hockey. I mean, you're not running the same team in Calgary with the same type of resources that you might be in Swift Current, or you might be in Prince Albert, or you might be in other places. And being able to keep competitive balance You know, keep it as competitive as you possibly can, I think is far more difficult than it is in professional sports. So there are challenges, and there's going to be some great challenges, but, you know, I think the Western League is doing what every other league is, and they're talking and they're planning and they're using this time to truly identify where they want to go moving forward. And, you know, whether it's this draft, it's like everybody else. This is not how we envisioned our world, but what choice do we have? All we can do is learn, and if we're smart or somewhat smart, take the time to get together and use that time to truly try to be better when things start up again, in understanding that a big challenge in that is going to be things aren't going to be the same.
Yeah. And just finally, we had talked about this when the CHL came out on Monday and officially said that all three of their member leagues will not be able to go through with their postseason, and the 2020 Memorial Cup will not happen in Kelowna, BC. And Pinder and I were just talking about at the time, like, okay, so does Kelowna get the Memorial Cup in 2021? Well, it came out the next day on Tuesday that Kelowna will not be getting the 2021 Memorial Cup. They'll go to the OHL and keep with the rotation in just over a year's time. Just a thought on why that's necessary, and from a hockey perspective and a planning perspective, why it maybe wasn't the most feasible to go back to Kelowna for the Memorial Cup next year.
Well, a big part of that, Pat, is you're not going to have the same team. And what the CHL does in its league that hosts the respective annual event tries its best to do is to make sure that the host is an elite level team. And so you try to build accordingly. So unless the league was going to say, we're going to change things as a result of this stoppage, well, players are going to graduate and players are going to move on professionally, and you're going to have incredibly different looking teams. And the fact of the matter is, for people who don't know, you know, junior hockey, you know, has 3 and 4 year cycles. And basically what you try your best to do is you try to build a team around two age groups and then mix and match and go from there. So, you know, the Kelowna Rockets just would not be in a very, you know, now some would argue they weren't in the most competitive spot to hold the event this year had it gone as planned. But by next year, with all the moves and trades and what they've had to do, they just, you're not going to be in a good place, and it's hard to get this thing right competitive wise to begin with, because there's just lots of things that you can't predict. And through the course of, you know, host teams, which goes all the way back to Portland, Oregon, when this all started with a host team in the year 1983, you know, a lot of years, it's been a great challenge. But on the other hand, you know, I remember a stretch when I was doing the tournament where, you know, I can think of the stretch where, you know, London hosted in 2005 and won. Kelowna, you know, they won in 2004. They didn't win the league, but they had the best record in the league. They lost in a weird upset to Everett in the Western Final. You know, 2006, Moncton was the host. They won the Quebec League. You know, Kitchener won the Ontario League and hosted in 2008. And there's been, you know, lots and lots of good stories and lots of very, very competitive hosts. But, you know, moving it a year, unless you're going to move up the age of your players and everything is frozen, I don't think you have a choice but to go forward.
Yeah, and I'm completely with you. After at first I was like, well, yeah, easy. But then you think about it, you're like, you know, just how teams plan to be a host of a team and how they go through their hockey timeline and their hockey calendar on a yearly basis leading up to that. It makes perfect sense why they wouldn't be able to go back to Kelowna. Just before we let you go, Lou, we got a text, and while you were answering that question, I went and did a little quick recording work. So somebody texts in, one of my most rewatched sports moments is Pete's call of Kipper's stick save on Kyle Wellwood. Him shouting, oh my goodness, gives me chills every time. So, Logo, it's at the top of the fan folder. Just because the text is there and Lou's on with us, I thought, well, I was able to find it pretty quickly and record it. This is exactly what he's talking about.
Bieksa. His shot tipped in front, loose. Oh my goodness! And somehow that stayed out too. They're on their feet in Calgary.
Stays right with it on the redirect. Empty net.
Charlie, I was just flat out poised to say scores. I was certain it was in. That is one of the greatest saves you will ever see.
Do you happen to remember that, Lou?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, I remember it. Now I have goosebumps from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. Yeah, I remember it incredibly well. And I, you know,
somebody
to this
else
day, still not sure how he kept that thing out. But when you watch Kiprasov on a night to night basis, and I said this many times, I'm not sure his work was ever appreciated quite to the level that maybe it deserved to be.
Luke, one of our texters, writes in, says the Patrick Steffen call is better, which that was, you were still in Edmonton. That's one of my favorites. It's like, of all the years, to paraphrase you at the end, you're like, of all the years, I've never seen anything quite like that. When Steffen misses the empty net and Hemsky goes back the other way and scores. That's one of my favorite Labardius calls as well. It's a good one.
Yeah, can you believe what we just saw? Well, you know, probably the best way to end this interview, and hopefully there will be more. Can you believe what we are dealing with?
No kidding.
Nope. Always still can't. Thanks, Lou.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure. Anytime. Be well. Keep your families
you
home.
As well.